Chapter 54. Lauren sat huddled in the cramped rock cell, sinking into the quicksand of self-pity. She had no more fight left in her. The hours had merged until time lost all sense of meaning. She could not remember when she had last eaten. She tried to recall what it felt like to be warm and dry, but that memory seemed like an event that occurred ages ago. Her self-confidence, the independence, the satisfaction of being a respected legislator in the world's only superpower, meant nothing in that damp little cave. Standing on the floor of the House of Representatives seemed a million light-years away. She had come to the end, and she had fought as long as she could. Now she accepted the end. Better to die and get it over with. She looked over at Rudy Gunn. He had hardly moved at all in the last hour. She didn't have to be a doctor to see that he had slipped badly in that time. Tupac Amaru, in a storm of sadistic wrath, had broken several of Gunn's fingers by stomping them. Amaru had also injured Gunn severely by kicking him repeatedly in the stomach and head. If Rudy didn't receive medical attention very soon, he might die. Lauren's mind turned to pit. Every conceivable road to freedom was blocked, unless he could ride to their rescue at the head of the U.S. cavalry. Not a likely prospect. She recalled the other times he had saved her. The first was on board the Russian cruise ship, where she was held captive by agents of the old Soviet government. Pitt had shown up and rescued her from a savage beating. The second time was when she was held hostage by the fanatic Hideki Suma in his underwater city off the coast of Japan. Pitt and Giordino had risked their lives to free her and a fellow congressman. She had no right to give up. But Pitt was dead, crushed by concussion grenades in the sea. If her countrymen could have sent a group of special forces over the border to save her, they would have done so by now. She had watched through the cave opening as the golden treasure was hauled past her cell and through the guardian's chamber up to the peak of the hollow mountain. When all the gold was gone, she knew it would be time for her and Rudy to die. They did not have to wait long. One of Amaru's foul-smelling henchmen walked up to their guard and gave him an order. The ugly slug turned and motioned them out of the cave. "Zalga, Zalga," he commanded them. Lauren shook Gunn awake and helped him rise to his feet. "They want to move us," she told him softly. Gunn looked at her dazedly, and then, incredibly, he forced a tight smile. "About time they upgraded us to a better room." With Gunn shuffling alongside Lauren, her arm around his waist, his over her shoulders, they were led to a flat area between the stalagmites near the shoreline of the river. Amaru was joking with four of his men who were grouped around him. Another man she recognized from the ferry boat as Cyrus Saracen. The Latin Americans appeared cool and relaxed, but Saracen was sweating heavily, and his shirt beneath his armpits was stained. Their one-eyed guard pushed them roughly forward and moved slightly apart from the others. Saracen reminded Lauren of a high school coach who was pressed into service as a chaperone at a prom, seeing out a dull and boring duty. In contrast, Amaru looked as if he were bursting at the seams with nervous energy. Excitement gleamed in his eyes. He stared at Lauren with the same intensity as a man crawling through the desert, who suddenly sights a saloon advertising cold beer. He came over and roughly cupped Lauren's chin with one hand. "Are you ready to entertain us?" "Leave her be," said Saracen. "There is no need to prolong our stay here." Something cold and slimy moved through Lauren's stomach. "Not this," she thought. "God, not this. If you're going to kill us, get it over with." You'll get your wish soon enough, Amaru laughed sadistically. But not before you pleasure my men. When they are finished, and if they are satisfied, perhaps they will give you a thumbs up and let you live. If not, then a thumbs down like the Romans judging a gladiator in the arena. I suggest you make them happy. This is crazy, snapped Saracen. Use your imagination, amigo. My men and I have worked hard helping to transport your gold from the mountain. The least you can do is allow us a small reward for our services before we leave this hellish place. You're all getting well paid for your services. What is the term you use in your country? Said Amaru, breathing heavily. Fringe benefits? I don't have time for prolonged sex games, Saracen said. You will make the time, Amaru hissed, baring his teeth like a coiled snake about to strike. Or my men will become most unhappy, and then I may not be able to control them. One look at the five toughs backing up the Peruvian killer, and Saracen shrugged. She is of no interest to me. He stared at Lauren for a moment. Do with her what you will, but get it over with. We still have work to do, and I don't want to keep my brothers waiting. Lauren was on the verge of throwing up. She looked at Saracen, her eyes imploring.
You're not one of them. You know who I am, whom I represent. How can you stand by and allow this to happen?
Barbaric cruelty is a fact of life where they come from, Saracen replied indifferently. Every one of these vicious misfits would cut a child's throat as casually as you or I would slice a filet mignon.
So you'll do nothing while they do their perverted work?
Saracen gave a detached shrug. It might be rather entertaining.
You're no better than they are.
Amaru leered. I find great enjoyment in bringing haughty women like you to their knees. That was the signal to end the talk. Amaru made a gesture to one of his men. You may have the honor of going first, Julio. The others looked disappointed at not being chosen. The lucky one stepped forward, his mouth stretched in a lustful grin, and grabbed Lauren by the arm. Little Rudy Gunn, grievously injured and barely able to stand, suddenly crouched, launched himself forward, and rammed his head into the belly of the man about to assault Lauren. His charge had all the impact of a broomstick against the gate of a fortress. The big Peruvian barely grunted before delivering a passionless backhand that sent Gunn sprawling across the floor of the cavern. "Throw the little bastard in the river," ordered Amaru.
"No," Lauren cried. "For God's sake, don't kill him."
"Throw the little bastard in the river," ordered Amaru.
"No," Lauren cried. "For God's sake, don't kill him."
One of Amaru's men took Gunn by the ankle and began dragging him toward the water.
"You may be making a mistake," cautioned Saracen. Amaru looked at him queerly.
"Why?"
"This river probably enters the gulf. Instead of providing a floating body for identification, perhaps it might be wiser if they disappear forever."
Amaru paused thoughtfully for a moment. Then he laughed. "An underground river that carries them into the Sea of Cortez. I like that. American investigators will never suspect that they were killed 100 kilometers away from where they're found. The idea appeals to me." He made a motion to the man holding Gunn to continue. "Heave him as far as you can into the current."
"No, please," Lauren begged. "Let him live and I'll do whatever you demand."
"You'll do that anyway," Amaru said impassively.
The guard hurled Gunn into the river with the ease of an athlete throwing the shot put. There was a splash, and Gunn vanished beneath the black water without a word. Amaru turned back to Lauren and nodded at Julio. "Let the show begin." Lauren screamed and moved like a cat.
She sprang at the man who gripped her arm and rammed the long nails of her thumbs deeply into his eyes. An agonized cry echoed through the treasure cavern. The man given the go-ahead to ravage Lauren clutched his hands to his eyes and squealed like a stuck pig. Amaru and Saracen and the other men were momentarily paralyzed with surprise as they saw blood flow through his fingers.
"Oh, Mother of Christ!" Julio cried. "The bitch has blinded me!"
Amaru walked up to Lauren and slapped her hard across the face. She staggered back, but did not fall. "You will pay for that," he said with icy calm. "When you have served your purpose, you shall receive the same treatment before you die." The fear in Lauren's eyes had been replaced with raging anger. If she'd had the strength, she would have fought them tooth and nail like a tiger before being overpowered. But the days of ill treatment and starvation had left her too weak. She kicked out at Amaru. He took the blows as if they were no more annoying than an attack by a mosquito. He caught her flailing hands and twisted them behind her. Thinking he had her helpless, he tried to kiss her. But she spit in his face. Infuriated, he punched her in her soft belly. Lauren doubled up, choking in agony and at the same time gasping for breath. She sank to her knees and slowly fell on her side, still doubled up and clutching her stomach with her arms. "Since Julio is no longer able to function," said Amaru, "the rest of you help yourselves." The outstretched arms of his men, thick and strong, with their fingers hooked like claws, reached out and seized her. They rolled her over on her back and pinned down her arms and legs. Held down in a spread-eagled position by the combined strength of three men, including One Eye, Lauren cried out in defenseless terror. The tattered remains of her clothing were torn away. The smooth, creamy skin shone under the artificial lights left by the army engineers. The sight of her exposed body aroused the attacker's level of excitement even higher. The one-eyed Quasimodo knelt down and leaned over her, his breath coming in short pants, his lips drawn back from his teeth in a grimace of animal lust. He pressed his mouth against hers. Her screams were suddenly muffled as he bit her lower lip, and she could taste the blood. Lauren felt as if she were suffocating in a nightmare. He pulled back and moved rough, calloused hands over her breasts. They felt like sandpaper to her sensitive skin. Her deep violet eyes were sick with abhorrence. She screamed again. "Fight me," the Hulk whispered huskily. "I like a woman who fights me." Lauren plunged into the depths of humiliation and horror as One Eye lowered himself onto her. Her screams of terror turned into a shriek of pain. Then, abruptly, her hands were free and she clawed her attacker across the face. He sat back, stunned, parallel streaks of red blooming on both cheeks, and stared dumbly at the two men who had suddenly released her arms and hands. "You idiots, what are you doing?" he hissed. The men who were facing the river fell backward in open-mouthed shock. They crossed themselves as if warding off the devil. Their eyes were not on the rapist or Lauren. They were staring into the river beyond. Confused, Amaru turned and peered into the dark waters. What he saw was enough to turn a sane man mad. His mouth dropped open in shock at the sight of an eerie light moving under the water toward him. They all gaped as if hypnotized as the light surfaced and became part of a helmeted head. Like some hideous wraith rising from the murky abyss of a watery hell, a human form slowly arose from the black depths of the river and moved toward the shore. The apparition, with black seaweed-like shreds hanging from its body, looked like something that belonged not to this world, but to the deepest reaches of an alien planet. The effect was made even more shocking by the reappearance of the dead. Clenched under the right arm, as a father might carry his child, was the inert body of Rudy Gunn.